Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Yeah, welcome. Welcome aboard.
Hi.
We got exciting things to talk about today, stuff I'm pumped about. We are talking about two films that I'm going to assume most of you listening have not seen, which is why we're kind of making it a double header of an episode.
They both deserve their own episode. They're that good.
They totally do. They totally do. Like, that's, it's, the fact is they absolutely both deserve their own episode. I've got a sneaking suspicion that this will not be the final episode where we're talking about these movies. When we get to like our end of the year stuff, I think there's a high degree of likelihood that both of these films will end up on our lists. They are that good. Now, the films we're talking about are Midnight Special and Eye in the Sky. What's funny about this is before this past weekend, I had seen Eye in the Sky, but not Midnight Special. Now, you had seen Midnight Special, but not Eye in the Sky.
It's true.
And so we both saw
I zigged
the other
when
films.
You zagged and you zagged when I zigged.
That's right. It's a yin-yang relationship we have going. And, well, I won't get in the full review yet, but we both said to each other in text messages that for me, Midnight Special instantly became my favorite film of the year so far, and the same went for you with Eye in the Sky. So kind of funny how that happened. So I look forward to getting into it. But before we do that, a couple pieces of housekeeping. First being, we put in a request for some reviews last episode on our Rogue One trailer breakdown. And I said I would mail out t-shirts to people that wrote a review and screenshot and sent it to us. And so I just want to give the shout outs to the people that did it. I mailed out a whole bunch of packages this week to people like Alex from Fort Worth, Texas. Not far from Skylar.
Yeah. You could have sent me a shirt with his shirt, and he could have had to come find me.
Isn't that funny? You don't even have a shirt. I haven't sent you one yet, but it's funny because there was another Texas order as well. Man, I really should have sent you one.
Who are these people?
Parker from Allen. And then we have Dominique from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Whoa. Hey, Dominique, get your government in shape. Oh, sorry. Don't mean to get political. Okay. Dominique, get your government in shape, and then I'll do the opposite thing. Gays, get your stuff in order.
Oh.
Okay. Isn't that the opposite political point of saying that North Carolina?
I think
Carolina?
You either equally enrage people or maybe everyone's just cool with the way you balance that out.
Exactly.
Also, Brad in Wyoming. I want to shout out to him. He's up in the beautiful city of Evanston. And by city, I mean town. And I sent the shirts. Request to you guys, can you please maybe take a picture of you wearing it and send it to us? We'll retweet it. Also, I'm starting to realize that the female demographic that listens to this pod is non-existent or very, very low. I know my sister listens occasionally.
There
Shout
are
out
some
to
listeners.
Sarah Stauffer.
We've heard from a few.
Yeah, I know, but I just felt bad that I sent to these like they're all guys. So hey, brave little women.
It's a different movie, different podcast.
There's no way for me to. Yeah, I'm not even gonna try.
Ooh,
but hey,
we should start a new podcast just called Women's Studies, and then it's just like a women's studies course hosted
and
by
it's,
two
and
white
it's two,
cis men.
Two men, and every guest is a man. By the way, we have not. This is important. We have not had a single woman guest on the podcast. That's not okay.
In the sense that it's bad. Well, okay, so we're gonna call this new podcast Mansplainin'.
Yeah. That's not bad.
And we tell women about women's issues with male guests.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! What's funny is I've tried. I've tried to get my wife, Lindsay, on the pod. For example, she liked Midnight Special quite a bit, and I didn't think that was going to be her type of movie, but she really liked it. But I've asked her to come on to give us her kind of her take on something, and she's kind of like, nah. She's like,
Kara will come on one of these days, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. I doubt it.
Yeah. So I think Lindsay would rather have someone else break the glass ceiling before she comes on.
The glass ceiling that we established.
Dude, the ceiling's low though, man. That's the problem. On this podcast. Anyway, so this is what I'm getting at. If you're one of the few women that listen to our podcast, one, we're sorry for all the mansplaining, and two, I'm going to go ahead and send you two t-shirts. Now, yes, the sizes are men's sizes, and I didn't order any women's sizes, so I'm part of the problem.
Wait,
but
David, is that one t-shirt per ovary? Is that what you're doing here?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Maybe subconsciously that's how I did it. I didn't mean to, but now that I think about it, yeah, that's probably why.
I mean, it's...
Jeez.
It's only fair, so...
But seriously, I'll send you two t-shirts. It'll make a great pajama tee.
I don't think our podcast is that sexist, because if you go to iTunes, on the bottom mm-hmm. of our podcast page, it says, listeners also yeah. subscribed to, and the number one yeah. result is Girl on Guy with Aisha Taylor.
Yes, I saw that. Like, how many of you listening right now also subscribe to the Aisha Taylor podcast? I want to know who you are.
Please.
But
I didn't realize
the good work.
That our, how do you call that, our... that chart that's got two circles and then there's like a little part in the middle.
Venn diagram?
I didn't realize that our Venn diagram is so closely related with Aisha Taylor's podcast.
No, dude.
But I mean, it makes sense. We are
it does make
pretty
sense.
Similar to black women in a lot
yeah,
of
no.
ways.
Well, when I first saw it, I was like, this must not be right. But then I kind of started to think about it. I was like, you know what? It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Speaking of podcasts, one of our loyal, brave little listeners from the get-go, the first person actually tweeted at us when we were featured on iTunes, a man who has been featured on an episode, two episodes of this pod, K-Balls, Kevin Ryan Balzer. I'm going to give him a quick little plug. He's actually starting his own sports podcast called, I believe it's No Sources.
Sports.
I will be joining them for their inaugural episode, just kind of a one-ep stop by. Next week. So when it gets posted, I imagine listed next week, check it out. No Sources. We'll probably plug it again in the next pod.
Hey, Kevin Balzer.
Yeah. Are you waiting for him to respond? I don't think he's on the line.
Hey, Kevin. You there?
Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
I didn't get the.
Yeah, no, he's calling in. He's calling in. Here he is.
If you send me an email,
Kevin.
Or you called me or texted me, I didn't get it. So just send that again. I'd love to be on the pod. Actually, you know what? I just looked at my schedule.
Yeah.
I'm a little busy.
This is the thing. This is the truth. He Twitter DM'd me, and you're not even on Twitter anymore. You
That's
just totally
true.
You became way too cool for Twitter. You were telling me that it wastes way too much time. Meanwhile, dude, I'm getting like all sorts of useful information, like when tornado warnings are in Dallas this past week and other things.
My iPhone tells me that stuff.
Well, terrific.
Well,
speaking
Kevin,
of iPhones,
you could like call me or I don't know, send me a podcast.
Yeah.
Get at me, bro. I'm on that Gmail life.
Hey, you're hard to get to, man.
That's intentional. Keep them wanting. Did you know if we have a listener in Wyoming, that means we have roughly 1/500,000th of that population listening to our podcast, which probably makes it
what?
Our most listened to state.
So we have, if we're talking per capita.
Oh, yeah.
We have an enormous share of Wyoming.
Because, like, Texas, we just mentioned there's probably, like, three listeners here. That's, like...
We have more than three listeners in Texas. I can guarantee that.
That's, like, 40 people. Okay, yeah, maybe I'm... Dude, there's under 3 million people in Utah. You guys need to get your stuff together.
Hey, like, don't say North me. Carolina. I'm not a Utah. I live here. I'm a temporary resident.
Do you have resident?
Do
you have your driver's license there?
I'm still... No, I don't. That's a California driver's license. And I'll show it to you.
What do you do when you get pulled over? No.
I lie to the police officers. When I get pulled over, the first thing they ask me is why I have a car registered in Utah but a California driver's license.
That makes
sense. It's
made
all the worse by the fact that the picture on my license is from when I was, I mean, it was nearly 15 years ago when I was 15 is my permit photo. So it doesn't even really look like me. Like TSA sometimes won't let me through.
Ooh, dude,
I'm showing.
You look super sketchy.
Yeah, dude, it does look sketchy. I'm showing Skyler there.
I've been stopped at TSA for having a very different appearance than my picture.
But I lied to the police when they pulled me over by telling them I'm just a student, which is the best way to get off because you're allowed to do that. But the last time that happened, I had my nephews in the back seat of my car after I'd just taken them to see Big Hero 6.
Hey, man, and I got my license. Do you want to see my license?
Oh, yes. Is this a fake license? Oh, wow. Dang, dude. You were hairier back then. That's crazy. Oh, my gosh. That's great. Everyone.
Nope.
So, oh, that's Topher Grace. That's not you.
Cute Topher.
So I took my nephews to see Big Hero 6, right? And I'm Uncle David, right? They look up to me. At the time, I guess they'd be like seven and five. Anyway, I get pulled over by going 80 and a 70.
No.
And yeah.
No
yeah.
way. That's too. Yeah, nitty picky.
So I get pulled over. The cop is like, the very first thing. I mean, it happens all the time. I've gotten pulled over quite a bit here. No tickets though. Booyah. And so the cop's like, why do you have a California's driver's license? Just like wanting to cite me because it's like a $30 fine or whatever. And so he immediately asks, and I told him, oh, I'm a student at BYU. Yeah, and he's like, oh, okay. And then immediately my nephews are siding with the police officer by trying to tell him the truth. I'm like, Uncle David, no. You don't go. And I'm like, I'm trying to inconspicuously shut up my nephews.
These aren't my real nephews, don't worry.
And then, yeah, exactly. So many scenarios are playing out in my mind. Like, if I reacted too abruptly, it might look like I'd kidnapped these children. Or like, the cops, I believe, they err on the side of, like, escalating things quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And
unless you're a white cis male, then you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. But what was funny is it became like a game to them. I think they kept trying to tell the truth to the cop each time he'd come back to the car. Like he went back and forth three times. Thankfully, I got off. But yeah, my nephews haven't respected me ever since. But hey, look, I didn't have to pay $30. I'm cool with it, and I still have my license.
You didn't deserve that respect in the first place. It's all good.
No, I did nothing to earn it. It just came with the genetics. Well, I took them to Big Hero 6, but
hey, anyway, there you go.
To wrap this up, we still have t-shirts left provided to us by the folks at dawnofthethread.com. They make great t-shirts. We got a whole bunch. We don't have a very many larges. We have quite a few mediums and smalls in charcoal and blue. So it's not too late. Write a review. It's very simple. It's very easy. And look, I'm going to spend $4 to priority mail a t-shirt to you for just spending 30 seconds to write something about why you listen to this pod or why you might like it. If you write a negative review, I will still mail something to you. It might not be a t-shirt. You'll have to wait and see what it is. Oh, surprise, surprise. But don't be mean. All right, let's get to the most important thing before the movie reviews, and that is The Warriors, Dub Nation breaking the unbreakable record. Did you watch the game?
No, I couldn't care less about the Warriors.
Okay, so I grew up about an hour and a half away from Oracle Arena.
You don't get two teams.
Look, I'm not about to be a bandwagon guy and say that like they're my team, but truthfully they've always been my number two team.
You don't I don't get
even
that.
When they were crappy. This is what's weird is like I would go to games and I would cheer for them when they were just as crappy as the Kings were. Even when the Kings were really good and the Warriors were crappy, I still cheered on for the Warriors every game I'd watch. But now that they're really great, it's like now I can't really claim it because
it's just weird so to fraudulent. Me because like for me, the closer a team is to me, the more I hate them. Like, I hate the Spurs. I hate the Rockets. I hate the Thunder.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to hate the Spurs because, well, Tony Parker. But Los Angeles Lakers is the only – I mean, Lakers are like, what, like 7-8 hour – it's probably a 7-hour drive from where I grew up. Like, yeah, we definitely hated them, right? The NorCal-SoCal rivalry is alive and well in basketball.
Right.
Or at least, it was. So I hate the Clippers? I get that. Yeah, but that's only a recent development because they're the most unlikable team in basketball right now. I think that's like right goes without saying. Aren't they?
Although, is it insane that I would maybe cheer for them against the Warriors?
No. Yes,
I want
that's
the Warriors
insane.
To lose.
Why?
I want the Warriors.
That's
to
That's the
lose
most
in these
likable
playoffs.
Team. Everyone's like genuinely like.
Oh no!
They play
no,
unselfish
no,
basketball.
I
they're good people. They're super nice. They're not egotistical. They play it like this is basketball. This is the pinnacle of basketball. It's beautiful. It's a work of art what they do.
That is the lie that's being pushed about this
73
team.
73 wins, Skyler.
No, there's nothing wrong with like their ability to play basketball. But like there's this notion that Steph Curry is just like this humanitarian who's just out to like save the world and do all these good things. The dude is an egomaniac. Like he loves Steph Curry.
Oh my gosh, this is
he loves playing up to him. Like you've seen him celebrate, right? He like gets up in people's faces. It's all about him. Like
okay, that's ridiculous.
He is
Seth Curry is like one of the most humble superstars we've ever had.
Did you just say Seth Curry?
Yeah, but that's because he plays for the Kings, and I'm used to saying Seth instead of Steph. but the statement still stands.
Straight garbage.
Seth Curry is the most humble non-superstar we have.
He's humbled every day.
He's not straight garbage. He's actually had some pretty good games recently.
No, like I'm not going to argue that Steph Curry isn't just like incredible, and the way he figured out how to shoot is unbelievable. Like he is the best player in the league.
But he's not like unlike. Unlike his brother Seth, he wasn't like catered to growing up. He had to play Davidson, like a crappy basketball school.
He wasn't like, catered to growing up. He got to like take shots in NBA arenas every night as a child.
Okay, all right, that's pretty dope, I admit. But I mean, like in the sense of he still had to prove himself. He had something to prove. Like, yeah, like but, he didn't come in. He wasn't like LeBron, which was like he was the heir apparent or whatever to Jordan since he was 15 years old. Steph had to prove himself every single step of the way.
Oh
it's
no,
amazing.
But unlike LeBron, LeBron was not born with a silver basketball in his mouth. Like Steph Curry was born to an NBA playing
Hummer,
father.
I think
one of the greatest basketball players of all time, like one of the greatest shooters of all time, was Steph Curry's dad. And like
okay, so you stop it right now. If you're making an argument, Del Curry is one of the greatest shooters of all time. Like, I'm just going to stop you. I'm going to hold up on the revisionist history. Del Curry was like a rotational player that was like, okay, right? Maybe a good locker room presence type of guy, right? Like, I mean, he was no Juwan Howard. You know what I mean? Like, Del Curry wasn't anything special. The only reason why I know the name Del Curry is from playing NBA Jam. Like, that's it.
Did you know that Del Curry is one of only 5 players in NBA history to have played 1,000 games and shoot over 45% from the field and 40% from the three-point line?
Well, it's easy to shoot 45% from the field when you're taking 3 shots a game.
It
doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah, but he's had 1,000 games. Like, it's... Dude, he
is 1,000 games of 3 shots, isn't it?
Shooter. Dude,
this is crazy to me that you're saying Del Curry.
I'm sorry he didn't make 400 threes a year like his son, but Del Curry was an incredibly efficient shooter.
But his son hasn't earned the right to like celebrate a little bit.
He shot 47% from the field. No, I'm not saying that he's. I just don't want him treated like a saint. Like he's universally loved for some. Like when I went to
He's the first superstar since Jordan to have this type of weird mythic following. Like not even LeBron has had that to that level.
That's the backlash. Like I liked Steph Curry last season. Like I liked his game. Like it's fine.
Man, I can't believe you're Jennifer Lawrence-ing Steph Curry right now.
He's definitely jumped the shark. Like I went to a Mavs Warriors game 2 weeks ago, and I did not see one child there under the age of 16 who was not wearing a Steph Curry jersey. And there were tons of Steph Curry jerseys in my section. And I kid you not, when Steph was either off the court or another player was taking a shot, they could not care less. Like, in that game, the Warriors killed us, and they were drilling threes. Steph had, like, a fine night, but, like, everyone else was drilling shots, and every time that would happen, they'd be like, whatever. Like, I don't care. But as soon as Steph was even, like, touching the ball, they were like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. Like, they're not basketball fans. They're not, like, they're just Steph Curry fans. And, yeah, I find it obnoxious, but it's the same.
When Lindsay's parents were visiting, Lindsay's parents flew in from California to visit a couple months back. And her mom, probably one of the most genuinely sweet people on this planet, you know, she's in her early 60s, not exactly an NBA fan. She casually references the Babyface Assassin in a sentence that like caused me to like stop and be like, wait, what'd you just say? And like her mom's been watching every single Warriors game this season. Like it's crazy to me the amount of appeal that he has in a good way, right? Like, I mean, I realize that there can be adverse effects to that much attention. But like, if my 60-year-old mother-in-law is watching every single Steph Curry game, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that the definition of a bandwagon? Like, isn't that what a bandwagon is?
Yeah, but if you're over 60, you're allowed to do it, right? Isn't there an age where you can bandwagon as much as you want?
Yeah, but like, it's just... Okay, so here I'm in Dallas, and I get that my team's not good right now. But the kids that are 14 aren't wearing Dirk jerseys now. Like, when I was a kid, my team sucked. When I was like 8 or 9 or 10, like, we had Jason Kidd in the 90s. Yeah,
see, I don't remember the Mavs sucking ever, because I remember Michael Finley. I remember
Finley came around in like 98.
Okay, so that's 99. When I started paying attention, because that's when the Kings got really good too. I think their rise was kind of coincided, the Mavs and the Kings.
Right, but I mean, I remember we all wore Mavs jerseys and stuff. Like, yeah, there were kids who were Jordan fans that like had the Jordan stuff, and like, I actually had kind of a weird adverse feeling about that too, because I was like, guys, you gotta support your local team. And yeah. Totally. The kid who was like went to my school that was wearing the Jordan jersey, I was like, you can't. I don't know.
Like, I could be wrong. What's weird is I kind of want to be the type of person that's like, you know what, like, you know, pick a team, any team you want, support them. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I want to just be that cool guy. But like, honestly, truthfully, when people are like diehard fans of teams from cities in which they have no connection and or maybe never even visited, like, I'm weirdly not okay with it. I'm weirdly, especially if you live in a city that has a professional team, you know, or franchise in that sport, it's like, don't tell me you're a big Yankees fan. Like, don't do that. You've got the Braves, right? Or like that's the most petty and really immature way to look at it, sports. But like, I weirdly can't help it. Like, I have this weird provincial, like, I think people need to own the land in which they grew up in or where they're from or where they've lived, you know, a certain amount of years. I just don't like, I weirdly am not okay with liking teams from...
I'm not a fan of front runners. I'm not a fan of, like, okay, so if you want to follow European soccer, that's great. But if you're going to follow Real Madrid or you're going to follow...
Oh, dude, Barca.
Barca. If you're going to follow one of those teams, like, I get it. But, like, when I chose my English Premier League team, I was like, okay, I want to choose a team that's, like, not one of the top five that's always winning it every year.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just, maybe I'm a flawed guy because I look down on people who choose to follow, like, okay, the people who follow just who's ever good. I don't know, like, how you feel great about a championship, though. Like, how do you feel great when you're watching the Heat win a title when, like, 2 years ago you're watching your Lakers win a title and 3 years before that you're watching, like, there's no real victory.
But those people get to celebrate titles for days, dude. Lucky. You know what's gonna be amazing is when the Kings win a title. It will be when that day comes, and it won't be soon. That day will be such a special moment because I'm still watching all their games right now, even when it's difficult. Also, shout out to George Karl for pulling one of the most brilliant financial coups ever by getting like an enormously overpaid contract. And then on day one of being named head coach, you turn against the best big man in the league and DeMarcus Cousins to try to get him traded, a move that you knew would have ended in your premature demise or on time demise. And that's exactly what happened. And now you got cut loose today and you're laughing all the way to the bank. So congratulations. Thanks for contributing to the dumpster fire of a franchise that I root for. And don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Okay, question for you. I want this honestly, because I'll tell you this. Dirk Nowitzki would be better to spend the last year or two of his career somewhere else, just as like from an ability to win a title. I understand that.
Yeah.
Selfishly, I want him to be a Maverick. Like, he's going to stay a Maverick. Title, though.
He doesn't need to do that.
He got his title. Okay. Yeah. DeMarcus Cousins would be better going to a different franchise, true or false?
I know the world, like, everyone thinks it's like, there's this common narrative of like, he's being so wasted in Sacramento. Like, he's not reaching his full potential. So to answer your question, it depends. Like, I do think there's probably a couple situations where he could maybe get some mentorship that he needs. Although I think he's at the point now where he's kind of outgrown the needing to be like the mentored or being the mentee. I mean, but right. Yes, there are probably a handful of situations that I think, would be more beneficial to him than being in Sacramento. With that being said, Sacramento's forced him to grow up real fast. And he's become a leader. Like, he's made huge strides. Most people don't see that in the day-to-day, but I do. I read every single blog. I watch every single interview. The guy has made incredible strides. To other people, he's still a punk. He still whines. He's still slow on defense in some cases. But he's made such great progress. But, dude, he needs to be in a place like Sacramento where he's not going to have the media spotlight on him, like in New York or LA or Chicago, where that dude is just going to – he's not going to respond well to that. Like, he's from Mobile, Alabama. Sacramento. He played in Lexington. He loves Sacramento. Like, he legitimately loves Sacramento. And if the basketball situation were a little more stable, I think he'd spend his whole career here. But I wouldn't blame him for going elsewhere. I wouldn't blame him at all. But I'm not – by no means do I think it's just like makes all the sense in the world to just jump to another franchise because of how terrible it is in Sacramento. I think Sacramento's been really good for him and in some ways bad.
But like, he is the focus of all the media attention because there's no other sports team in town to like take away the focus. Like, no matter what point of the year it is. Dude, we got the Sacramento
Rivercats. We have Sac Republic FC soccer. Okay.
Oh yeah. Fair you point. Guys are going pro soon.
But we don't. There's not a big media presence in Sacramento. Is what I'm getting at. Like, he gets a spotlight to a certain extent, but like, I don't know. DeMarcus Cousins needs, in some ways, to still grow up. But he's also not. People are like, oh, he needs mentors. Yeah, that guy doesn't exactly respond well to those types of situations. Like, he's not exactly the most like humble. Like, you know. I feel like he needs on-the-job training, which is what he's been getting. The next place he does go, though, they're going to get the best version of DeMarcus Cousins thanks to Sacramento, and you're welcome. I know we're 26 minutes in. We haven't even gotten to the movies, but we still have one more basketball story to talk about because last night it was Kobe Bryant's farewell tour coming to an end. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of the 60-point Kobe Felicia. Bryant? Bye, Felicia.
No, I couldn't care less about Kobe Bryant.
What do you mean?
Like, really
Kobe openly, Bryant?
I hate Kobe Bryant.
No. Oh, okay. Whoa. Back up. Let me drop some stats on you and try to change your mind, okay? All right. Let me go through a few things that I think you might agree with me that he doesn't deserve the hate that he gets. One, this dude has missed more shots than any player in NBA history. Like, that's amazing. Like, missed more field goals than anybody. Like, that's crazy. Another fun fact, Black Mamba, the nickname, he gave himself that nickname after watching Kill Bill. Like, you know, Swaggy P learned from the best in terms of the nickname giving department, which is something that should always be given by other people. But like, honestly, how can you hate Kobe? This is the type of guy that's been so unpleasant to play with that he's been like a complete repellent to every major free agent over the past decade of, you know, summers. This is the guy that, you know, ran Shaq out of town and the possibility of three more championships, you know, if they would have actually just stuck together. But dude, you got to give this to him. Kobe Bryant is the rare combination of being more of an insufferable teammate than Jordan and also being less talented than Jordan. Like, that's pretty incredible. Like,
it's impressive. No, I mean, you've seen the Nike commercial for the concerto that Kobe's performing as the conductor?
Of course I have.
Okay. When I'm watching that commercial, my first thing I want to do is to get a set together and have like a group of 9 people sitting there and one person standing up. And when everybody's starting to sing their songs, one person stands up and just points at him and says, "Rapist." And then that's like when the song goes on. Because maybe that's why some of us don't like him. Maybe it's because he's a rapist.
She would refuse to testify. She dropped the allegation.
That means he's definitely not a rapist. No, like.
Yeah, that's what that means.
The dude raped a girl. And then just kept playing basketball.
Allegedly.
Ooh, no, dude, he did.
Like, Kobe's lawyers listen to this podcast, I think.
And allegedly. You know what, though? He changed his number from 8 to 24, and we just all forgave him. Like, poof.
Yeah, that...
Like, people still hate Ben Roethlisberger, right? Like, Ben Roethlisberger's the worst. I'm actually surprised
there wasn't more backlash to that. That was dumb.
Dude, people aren't talking about it this week. Like, it's his last week in the NBA, and it's like, oh, he never did that. Like, he's just the greatest player... ever.
You gotta admit, did you get at least a little bit teary-eyed?
No.
When you saw him carry his 17-65 record team on his back to a last minute win against another non-playoff team?
You know what, it was
pretty
good.
It's just incredible. I mean, like, It's incredible. Even at the end of his career, man, just the battle between two non-playoff teams. I mean, it's just the stuff of legend, as I tweeted.
You got to feel for the Jazz, yeah. though, man. They're never going to win a title either.
Oh, I seriously feel bad. I feel bad. Obviously, I'm root for the Kings, and so they have a franchise that's very very much more put together than mine is. But at the same time, you're right. They will never win an NBA title, and that's just the truth. I don't think there's any collection of white guys that's going to be able to bring a team an NBA title despite the Jazz's best efforts.
The team that could win a title in Utah would not have a sellout once that year. Like, the fans would openly rebel against the team that could actually win a title because they'd be way too street.
Yeah, dude.
They need a nice white coach because we learned what happened last time when they had a black coach. Not so good.
Tyrone Corbin.
Nope. Tyrone, get out of here. Like, the one...
Dude, can't even get a cab in downtown Salt Lake City at 3 a.m. It's tough.
And the crazy part is the whitest player the Jazz have had in their history is actually Karl Malone. Because dude's from, like, backwoods Louisiana. And he has more guns than anybody in Texas. He, like, goes
There's a lot of Jazz
listeners
to our podcast. We love you. I'm a fellow small market... Now, Skylar can't speak to the small market part, but I'm a fellow small market fan. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the passion of the Jazz fans. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for the way their franchise has at least tried to do it right. Now, granted, I go to your games and I'm mostly disgusted by the fan base because they're mostly University of Utah fans that boo a little kid that's wearing a BYU shirt on the Jumbotron. And I generally don't like those types of people. And so, the BYU Jazz fans, though, and the non-Utah Jazz fans, salt of the earth, great people.
Okay, explain this to me. I just need one of these Jazz fans, reach out to me, call me. Text me. Why is Jimmer Fredette not playing for the Utah Jazz this season?
There's no good reason. There's zero good reason.
He could have been theirs for, like, league minimum, and he could have played 20 minutes a game every game.
Do you realize the league minimum that they'd be paying him, they would make back in jersey sales in, like, 2 weeks?
2 weeks. He'd be the most profitable thing to ever happen to them.
Yeah. Yeah, profitable since, like, Jeff Wythe.
And you know what? Like, I feel bad for Jimmer. Like, let's get real on Jimmer for just a second. Like, I know we're talking about Kobe. Came to the NBA. He didn't realize people were going to try and guard him in the NBA. He didn't realize he was going to try and guard people in the NBA.
Yeah,
like,
whoops.
Leave Jimmer alone, NBA players. Like, just let him shoot. Let him be open. Like, he's going to be really good if he's open.
This is almost like, this would be the equivalent of, like the Bat Kid, the big thing they did in San Francisco. If someone walked up and they were like, you're not actually Batman. It's like, whoa, let him be Bat Kid, okay? Like, give him a foot, give him some space, let him huck up some threes. Like, come on.
How good would Jimmer have been if people didn't play defense on him? How good would Jimmer have been if people who he was guarding never got the ball?
Have you been following Jimmer's career at all, by the way?
He just broke a D-League record. Mini documentary.
This is simultaneously the saddest and happiest Jimmer stat.
He was a D-League MVP at the All-Star game.
He broke the record. Yes, he's MVP of the D-League All-Star game, and he broke the record for a point scored in a D-League All-Star game. This is the thing. The second he drops into the D-League, which is, like, you know, above-average college player talent, right? Like, that's what the D-League is. He's been killing
Right, you and me
everybody.
Could probably average 20-20.
At least a double-double, but I think I'd get 20 points, 20 assists, maybe five steals. It's just the right skill level for Jimmer to just completely destroy. And he has been. It's been fun watching him. Like, you're reminded of why it was so exciting to watch him play at BYU. You're like, this is awesome. But then, like, the level up to the NBA, it's the athleticism and the length that keeps him from doing every single thing that he can do well.
Those guys guard. They play defense. It's not fair.
Russell Westbrook, he's not going to let you. He's not going to give you. And there's handicap rule.
When Jimmer is guarding a Russell Westbrook, guess what Russell Westbrook tries to do? Score. Which, like, we get it. You can score.
Well,
Russell Westbrook.
First, what he tries to do is mentally break him by yelling some of the most obscene vulgarities while running back and forth and just completely destroys his soul first and then physically destroys him.
Yep. And you know what? Like, a lot of people will criticize the Kings. Like, why'd you take Jimmer Fredette? Kawhi Leonard was on the board. Klay Thompson was on the board. Mm. Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about Klay Thompson and Seth Curry's dumbass goatees. Like, those things are the worst.
That's the Splash Brothers. You watch your mouth.
Those goatees need to... What? It's 2016. get out of here. But okay, yeah, they could have taken.
Well, if you win 73 games,
defensive player of the year Kawhi Leonard, or Finals MVP Kawhi Leonard, or future MVP Kawhi Leonard. But no, they took Jimmer Fredette, and you know what? They made the right choice, because if nobody guarded Jimmer, he would average 35 to 40 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, it's like the D-League All-Star game. It would have been like that every game for the Kings. Yeah. And you know what? They'd be in the finals right now. So,
do you think we should have a system where, since like the All-Star game in the NBA is an actual game where no one plays defense, like, do you think they should be allowed to call people up, like Jimmer from the D-League? Because it would be very entertaining to watch him play in an NBA All-Star game, even though he absolutely doesn't deserve to be there. But he would actually perform because no one's playing defense. It would be so fun.
What about the Friday night game? I mean, like, he would do so well on that.
Oh, yeah. They should do, instead of, like, the, I know they got away from, they still do the skills challenge, which is kind of lame. It was okay this year. But they got away with the celebrity game, which is very, I'm really grateful.
They need to have a D-League.
They need to do something with the D-League people that's, like, semi-humiliating but very entertaining.
How about the, like, five top scorers from the D-League versus the five worst players in the NBA?
And they have to play ping pong or something.
No, I think they just play basketball, and we'll just see how bad the D-League is.
How about they're like allowed? Yeah, they're allowed to travel. They're allowed to like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They call their own fouls.
Yeah. Okay, what if Jimmer got to guard Justin Bieber? We agree though that he would dominate, right? Like,
of course.
We need the right level of competition. It just leave Jimmer alone, guys. He's really good at basketball. Okay.
All right. Back to Kobe, because this is his big
rapist.
Well, is this no? I'm gonna have to bleep out every R word. Gosh darn it!
Whoa, don't say R word. People are gonna think I'm saying retarded, which I'm not, and I wouldn't.
So... okay.
Did you just make me say that?
Look. You and I both know there's going to be, because Kobe had his storybook ending, his valiant effort. They're going to make a biopic. And I was thinking about this today.
50
I was thinking about this over lunch. Like, what actor plays Kobe Bryant? What'd you say?
He took 50 shots last night.
Yes. He took... Look, you knew this was going to happen, right? Like, you knew that he was... Like, wouldn't you do the same for the last game?
No.
Like, I'll defend him. I'll defend him there. If this were my last game, I would shoot it every single time.
I guess.
But anyway, I think I have the perfect casting for Kobe Bryant in the biopic. Hear me out.
Okay, I'm listening.
Because when you're casting people in sports movies, there's like the debate of like, do you cast an actor and try to teach them how to look like a quarterback or a point guard or whatever? Or do you cast an athlete and teach them how to act, right? I'm going to go the athlete, teach you to act. I think that's always the easier route. So I think in the role of Kobe Bean Bryant, his middle name's Bean, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
I've heard that.
In the lead role, Kobe Bean Bryant, Allen Iverson. I think we have Allen Iverson. Seriously, I think he'd do it.
Is he because Tupac's like dead?
Tupac
would have
been
the.
It should have been Tupac, Kobe? But Tupac's dead. Yeah, he's gonna play all ages. we have CGI now; we can do anything we want. In the role of Phil Jackson, I was thinking Ron Perlman. I think that would work. I think as Pau, we have Will Forte.
I do have like a good choice for Shaq.
I think for Rick Fox, we just have Rick Fox.
Well, he's a great actor. Who's we all saw him in Holes.
Yeah. Yes, we did. Who's your Shaq?
Quentin Aaron from The Blind Side.
Wait, the main character?
Yeah.
Dude, that's perfect. Dude, of course, the main character.
He's so Shaq-like.
Dude, that's great.
Thank you. I feel like it's a really great choice.
I attempted the Shaq one, but I didn't get any further than Jay Farrow on SNL, and that wasn't a good cast, so I just decided not to even cast him. But no, that's really good.
Yeah, Quentin Aaron, and then Shaq's mom could be played by Sandra Bullock.
Who plays Jeannie Buss? Is that...
Ooh.
Is that going to be like Susan Sarandon, or are we going to go crazy? Like Courtney Love?
Courtney Love's not a bad... Like, who's dumb enough to play? I mean, they're going to have to play it really dumb. Like, they would. So stupid.
Oh, dude, get the girl from The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Ellie Kemper.
Yeah.
She's really good at playing
from,
dumb.
The Office.
Yeah.
She would nail this role. She'd be like, would. Oh, what's a basketball team? Byron what? Scott?
Oh, like, oh my gosh.
I like Byron Scott.
Do you guys need orange juices and Capri Suns?
Oh, more Byron Scott, please. Hey, Byron, you're doing a really good job.
I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I actually like Ellie Kemper.
She's great. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's awesome.
Yeah, no, it is.
Watch the show.
All right. Let's get into some movie talk. Did you have anything else you wanted to... Oh, there's one quick anecdote that I was doing a little Googling on Kobe Bryant. I didn't know about this. I'm sure it was a big story at the time. I just don't remember ever hearing about it. But Karl Malone and Kobe Bryant, almost got in multiple fights over claims from Kobe that Karl Malone would make passes at Kobe's wife during games, which I think is one of the funniest things. The fact that they're sitting on the bench, that he would make passes at Kobe's wife, and also just the fact that Karl Malone's at the end of his career. People said that he went to the Lakers. We all thought he went to the Lakers to win a ring. But what if he went there just to troll? What if he went there just to shake things up? I think it's a possibility.
That is on incredible. The table. I hope that's true. By the way, next episode, we should talk some Premier League soccer. I feel like people are interested in what's going on with Leicester.
Yeah, yeah. I cannot finish a single full soccer match. I get so freaking bored. I'm not going to disparage the sport. There are moments that are exciting and it takes a lot of skill, but gosh dang, it's boring.
Do you watch full baseball games?
I do. Yeah, and they are very boring. They're very boring. I think baseball games need to be way shorter.
They could be way shorter.
Yeah. Baseball, I feel the same way about baseball and soccer in the sense that they're really exciting moments, but as a whole, it's just too dang boring.
Ugh. You know what sucks? It's going to be the playoffs in baseball before this election's over.
And you know what sucks a little bit? Baseball season is so long. We are 41 minutes into this pod, and we have yet to talk about movies. My apologies. Midnight. My apologies. Let's get right into this.
Let's just go ahead and say that this is going to be spoiler-free up until any point. You don't need to worry.
So this is how we're going to approach this, because it makes no sense to talk spoilers on these because almost everybody listening hasn't seen them. We will talk about it. We will assume either you've seen the trailer, or we will talk about things that are in the trailer that you could gather from the trailer. So it's not really any spoilers, just stuff that's if you read a synopsis or a trailer, it's going to be that type of stuff. So don't think when we're talking about specific scenes or plot points that we're spoiling anything major. We will not go there on either film, I promise. So this is spoiler-free territory. I want to start with Midnight Special, which I saw this weekend. Just to give a little bit of context, I love Jeff Nichols. This is a guy who directed Shotgun Stories, Take Shelter, Mud, one of my favorite movies of the year that came out, and now Midnight Special. The trailer for Midnight Special got me interested. It looked super weird. It looked sci-fi. It looked Spielbergian. It's directed by Jeff Nichols and written. And so it had all the makings of something I would probably like. And sure enough, I loved this movie. For me, it was the best movie I've seen this year. With Eye in the Sky as among my favorites and Hail Caesar. This is such a, there's a lot of things I want to say, and Jeff Nichols is so brilliant, and he is really climbing on my list of getting etched in my Mount Rushmore. He still has a few movies away, but he's got a really, really great track record going on here. But this is what I love about Midnight Special. It's so weird, but the actors are so committed to the performances and grounding the weirdness in reality that I'm all in. I'm completely buying in. And the movie itself starts off in the middle of events have already transpired. We're in the middle of,
and they're not taking any story. Time to catch you up.
Yep. None. And what's great is there's no flashback. There's no scene that has to go back. Now that's not to say we don't the gaps and the holes in the story aren't filled. They are, but the way Jeff Nichols does it, he gives you little pieces of information along the way where it starts to make more and more sense what the motivations of these characters are and what's going on. It's such brilliant storytelling, and it's the opposite of this over-expositional dialogue we're getting used to. It's becoming more and more common. It's underwritten to great effect. Now, let me back up a little bit, quick synopsis. Midnight Special stars Michael Shannon, who you might recognize as the corpse in Batman v Superman, the Kryptonian corpse.
He did not play that Kryptonian corpse. Thank you very much.
Nope, no way.
He was not there.
But he's also giving the upcoming film,
Elvis and Nixon.
The Elvis, yeah. Are you not all in on that? Because I am.
100% all in.
It's, yeah.
Every trailer looks awesome. Came up before yeah. Eye in the Sky looks phenomenal. Like, I'm so excited for that. I'm so excited for The Lobster. The Lobster is probably going to be one of my top five.
Yeah, Colin Farrell. I've heard it's really weird. And I'm excited for that
one. Of course it's really weird.
Of course it is.
It's called The Lobster.
So we've got Michael Shannon in the lead role. He plays this father who has this son named Alton, who it's kind of weird. I don't want to say too much about it. He has these special powers that and again, this isn't revealing too much, but essentially these special powers, which are kind of unexplainable in the moment. There has been this this kind of cult that's this like doomsday cult organization that has formed around the powers that this little boy exhibits, and we learn that he's kind of been taken in by the head of this church, and they sermonize not around the Bible, not around any known scripture text, but things that this boy says. And so when the movie starts, what has happened is his birth father's, who is someone that is also among this commune of this doomsday cult, has essentially taken him and run off of the kind of escaped from the cult. Now, the authorities are after Michael Shannon's character, and he's also accompanied by Joel Edgerton, friend of the pod, a great actor, who you have no idea for half the movie what his relation is to this. And it's pretty incredible as you learn little bits about him. And I felt like he was a dynamic. Oh, really great performance. All performances across the board were so good in this film. And that's one thing that Jeff Nichols is great at, is not just casting, but also kid casting. The way he cast this boy, who was awesome, as well as the boys in Mud, Neckbone and Ellis in Mud, which was such a great film. Like, Jeff Nichols knows what he's doing. And like you said, getting good kid actors is nearly impossible. But we've been getting some good ones recently, especially with Room.
This and Room are great examples of great kid actors.
So I'm not going to spoil anything. I will say this. The premise and the journey is so compelling and so interesting. The film itself is really, it's for me, this is my interpretation, what I got out of it. It's really a story about parents. And the mother's played by Kirsten Dunst, who's done an awesome job. She's had a great year. She was terrific in Fargo season 2. About a mother and father that are willing to sacrifice anything for the success of their child. What that success is, what that means, I won't say too much. I want you to go see it. But like, they're willing to put it all on the line to allow him greatness, to make sure he achieves his greatest heights, right? And I think it's like, that's the basic theme of this. And how parents, you don't have control over everything. You can raise and rear a child, but like, they're going to have a personality. They're going to do things. They have their agency to make choices. Like, you can only corral them so much. And so seeing parents try and protect their he's also kind of sick child, and try to help him accomplish his goal. It, to me, was a really affecting and touching film. Also with Kylo Ren gives a performance that was like, dude, really good.
Phenomenal.
Adam Driver, good for him.
He is so charismatic in this. Like,
yes,
he's so likable. I'm like, oh, can I come
with you?
hey, no spoilers.
That's not a spoiler. Whoa, 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 whoa!
You just gave away the whole movie. I'm gonna say this.
That's the ending. That's the last line.
I'm gonna say this. Don't see the trailer. Just go see it.
Yeah, I seriously don't see it.
The trailer.
Like,
go see it.
Don't see the trailer. Yeah. See the movie. Anyway, I'm pretty wild about it. It is my favorite movie. I will say this though. My first time viewing it, and my only time, my initial reaction to the ending was that they didn't stick the landing completely. Now, I wasn't disappointed, but I was more like, it took me a couple days to process how I felt about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I felt like because the journey was so compelling, and the mystery, and like how quickly this thing moves, like, this movie was edited just expertly. When you get to the ending, I think my expectation was for a payoff. I don't know what I was expecting, honestly. But at the time, I felt like the payoff was not at all what I was expecting. But the payoff is the least important thing here. I think the journey here is way more important, and the overall theme of what's going on. And so,
for me, it didn't disappoint me. And so it was enough.
It was enough. And that's where I'm at now. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, now. Like I enjoyed the ending. Like when the film went to credits, there was somebody in my crowd that booed, and I was pretty.
Why?
Pissed.
Why do you think that is?
I can't say without spoiling. Yeah. But I was pretty pissed because I loved the ending, and I'll just say this: he was not like. It was a premiere for critics to go see it, like a special showing. And he was not a critic. He looked like somebody who just was like somebody's plus one. And
oh, geez.
He didn't look like somebody who's like a big fan of movies.
Are you sure it wasn't A.O. Scott? Was it A.O. Scott?
It was A.O. Scott. You're right. I'll say this. There's a decent chance that you'll hate it. But I'll say that I think
decent
you'll either,
is high. I think decent's high.
I think like, you'll love it or you'll hate it. I don't think that there's a whole lot of
Yeah, I think you're mostly right about that. That it is, it will be a little polarizing. I can't overstate how weird this movie is, right? Like, be prepared for weird. Like, it's weird. But with that weirdness, that mostly revolves around what's going on with the kid and some of the motivations of the characters. Like, the rest of the movie's, like, pretty, it's grounded so in much in reality that, like, it kept surprising me how, like, willing I was to embrace the weirdness and not even think about it. Like,
oh, yeah.
The reactions of characters, what the police do, what the FBI do, I feel like that's exactly how someone would react if this situation were to happen in real life. Like, it was so, I totally bought it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's very grounded, but there's also, you have to take some leaps with it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just be prepared for that. And be prepared to possibly dislike it, but I loved it. I think if you like it, I think you'll love it.
I listened to an interview earlier today with Jeff Nichols where he talks about his trust in the audience to connect the dots, the dots of the narrative. And again, it doesn't totally leave you in the dark after all is said and done. You might feel lost in the first 10, 20 minutes or so, but the story comes together. And as it does, I just feel like it unfolds in a beautiful way. And again, I probably wouldn't have bought in so much if it weren't for the full on commitment of the actors in this film. Like I really can't say enough. Yeah, so that's, I probably as much as we need to say to encourage you to go see it. And, maybe if enough people do, maybe we'll revisit it later and get into spoilers. I'm sure if it'll pop up on our end of year review or mid year, list, and we can go into spoilers then. But let's get to your new favorite movie of the year,
Eyes in the Sky, which when I first saw the poster for this,
singular.
Eyes in the Skies. When I first saw the poster for this and I saw the logo, I was like vocally upset. I was like,
I thought it was a sequel to The Queen with Helen Mirren, which it's not.
I thought it might have also been the same. When I see movies like this that are very topical, my instant reaction is to think, oh no, like this is just going to be like one of these attempts to cash in on what is a very topical topic. Like, I mean, everybody's talking drone, yeah. drone.
Right,
like,
right, exactly. Every TV you imagine show the writer's right room now. Started like we need to write a script. What do we start with? Drones. Okay, we got a drone, you know?
It's such a buzzword. And like,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
That turned me off instantly. Like, I saw the trailer for it and I just was not excited to see it.
Yeah. Buzzwords being drone, suicide vest, flying beetle camera.
Right. And so I expected not a lot from it. Like, I went in thinking it's going to be this kind of generic take on this genre of, like, modern war. And it's going to be like, hey, look, when you're a drone pilot, you get to be so far away from the war that you don't have to experience war. Isn't that so bad? Like, don't we need to change how drone pilots are?
And it's kind of a cush job, right? I mean,
yeah, I thought it was going to be, like, this huge criticism of war and how we fight things today. And that wasn't it. It wasn't preachy.
No.
It wasn't out there push.
I think by the ending, I think the message is a little bit more clear, but I don't know about you, but I felt like,
I thought that there's a final monologue that goes on by Sir Alan Rickman. I don't know if he's knighted or not. He should have been knighted.
He should be. I'm sure he will be posthumously if he's not already.
Oh, absolutely. But Alan Rickman gives a final.
Yeah.
And like that throws into question everything that you were feeling. Like, this movie makes a lot of choices. It makes a lot of decisions. It does a lot of things incredibly well. And
should we lay out the premise for what people, if people haven't seen the trailer?
Don't, I think don't see okay, the trailer. Right? Don't see the trailer. No? Just go see this.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to give this as another one. Don't see the trailer. Just go into the movie and experience what the movie is. But, like, it's, I don't know. It's not preachy. It's not overly militant, or it's not anti-militant. It's not.
It pro challenges you.
Or con.
It challenges. It challenges what? Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It makes you question a lot of things. Like, I want to do another podcast about this movie just because I want to be able to talk about these themes, which are all spoilers.
I'll say this ambiguously. Like, I certainly bring my own personal viewpoint into this movie, right? And I can tell you right now, there was at least one moment in this film that I flipped to the other side and was like, you know what? Just let's do this. Like, just do it. And like, that was in a weird, like, it makes a compelling for, like, and against case. I'm so glad that it wasn't really, really preachy right or left. I'm really glad it dabbled on both sides and made you kind of see both perspectives.
Right.
And then ultimately where you land is up to you.
And the casting was perfect because each role was
well
played that you didn't even like really look at it as like, oh, look at all these great performances. It was just all flawless. Like, there wasn't anyone who was pulling it down. There wasn't anyone who was distracting. Like, you have these huge stars, but they weren't distracting. You have
Helen Mirren did a restrained performance.
Helen Mirren was great. You had Alan Rickman, who was surrounded by all these like British actors and actresses who were just giving great performances. You have some really interesting takes on gender, but it's not that like they addressed it that way or it's even part of the film. It's just that you have people who are in positions of power making decisions that are women, and they just happen to be women. It's not that like it's a movie about women making decisions. It's just you have women who are in positions of power, and they take different views than what you might traditionally think of women would take on these matters. Like, it's showing a lot of interesting perspectives on. Like, I just loved it. Like, it might not be my favorite film of the year.
It was really well made.
But I loved it.
It was really well shot. I loved seeing one of our favorites, Captain Bakad Abdi.
I was making fun of him last week. He's way awesome. Good in this.
No, he's really good.
He delivers.
I hope that he can get out of, like, I feel like he's become like just the token, if we're filming in Somalia, let's get that guy actor.
I would love for him to play a non-Somalian role. Like, let's see if he can do Valley Girl.
Like, or Rogue, like, put him in a Rogue One or Rogue Two or another star. Like, I think he could do that. Nope, you're not in on that.
He would, we've already talked about it. He'd walk onto the Millennium Falcon and say, I'm the Jedi now.
Yeah, that's true.
I am the Jedi now. Yeah, it's just not
I'm the Jedi Master.
He needs to get away from captains.
Yeah. That's true.
When he called Helen Mirren and said, I am the Colonel now,
it's
really weird. It's
that's a deleted scene. It's on the. That's actually on the DVD.
The Blu-ray. They don't make DVDs anymore. Come on.
Sorry, Blu-rays or
4K.
HD DVDs. So I'm with you. I loved this film. I was really surprised because I had very low expectations. Like, I saw the movie just because I owe Jesse Pinkman. I saw Need for Speed, and so I was like, woof. And
you
I need
saw
him
need
to
for Speed. Wow.
It was on an airplane, so didn't have to pay for that. Whew. But
good call.
I want Aaron Paul. I think Aaron Paul's a good actor, and I want him to succeed. I don't want him to do films like Need for Speed, and he thinks he could be a Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, some sort of hybrid. Like, I want him doing roles like this. This was the perfect amount of Jesse Pinkman. I feel like he gave a layered performance. He has one scene in particular that's like really awesome. But what was one thing I loved about this movie is that it kind of showed you the craziness about decision making in war and how no one wanted to make a decision, and it was almost like it went on almost just long enough that made you uncomfortable and frustrated because you kept going through this chain of command back and forth and it almost became comical, right? How like nobody wanted to make the call, and it was just like, I gotta believe there are many situations that become like that.
Oh yeah.
Not necessarily the ramifications of this specific situation, but like that chain of command, the bureaucracy, the red tape, like it was crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah, just go see this movie. And then once you've seen it, we're going to do a podcast about just everything that it talks about.
Yeah.
Going into the different issues.
See the movie and then send us a hashtag let the girl live, hashtag let the girl die. That way we'll know.
Too much.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, man. Rest in peace, Alan Rickman. I'm so happy to know that his... His last theatrical film was a great one. Like, this was, I mean, I should say really good. Great is probably
this could be a stage performance. Like, it's really small, yet really, really good and powerful.
I like to think that, like, Alan Rickman is known as being a theater. He's constantly doing theater. Part of me feels like he filmed all of his scenes, because they're mostly in one room, just in intermissions in between some of his plays he was doing. They just pulled into a room, they filmed some scenes, and cut it together.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, go. These are two movies I can't recommend enough.
Seriously.
So great.
These have our full Brave Little recommendations. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. Brave Big recommendations.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. We don't usually, we never do that. Actually, that breaks up the golden rule. But these movies.
Holy crap.
I know. I shouldn't have done it. I actually regret it already. But yeah, I'm sorry. My apologies, everybody. Sorry about that. I shouldn't have done that.
Wow.
I just diluted our brand and really made a mess of things.
Our SEO is really going to be screwed.
I'm going to hear it from our sponsors after this. Gosh dang it. Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of our sponsors, we do want to thank MoviePass, a sponsor from the beginning, dawnofthethread.com for those t-shirts. And also, we have a new sponsor this week, lucidchart.com. We all have to make diagrams. If you need to make a mind map, a flow chart, process map, network diagram, you name it. Look. Man or woman has a moment in their life that they need to make a diagram. Why aren't you doing Lucidchart? Do it in Lucidchart. Lucidchart.com.
Okay. Also, if you're in Dallas or Fort Worth or Allen, go to see some films at the Dallas International Film Festival this week.
Yes. That's I'm glad we both were able to plug our places of employment there. Yeah. That was great.
Absolutely. Also, plugging iTunes, there are some really quality movies that went on sale this week.
Awesome.
On iTunes, if you're like me and trying to build a big iTunes library. So if you don't have
iTunes,
download
iTunes.
Download the iTunes app. Check out the greatest film of all time, Citizen Kane, is on there. One of my favorite movies from last year, 99 Homes. I didn't find out it was one of my favorite films.
I never saw 99 Homes.
It's on there. Go get it.
Is it good? That's Michael Shannon, Midnight Special. I just watched it.
It's phenomenal. 50-50. You know, The Town.
Yeah, with Mud. That's Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Mud, your favorite movie, is on sale.
I love Mud.
Stranger Than Fiction.
Can we pause 1 second? I have a clip from Mud queued up. It's 50 seconds long. If you haven't seen Mud, you should. It was Matthew McConaughey breaking out on the scene during the height of the McConaissance. Here's 50 seconds from Mud. From my favorite scene.
Was this not the beginning of the McConaissance?
This was towards the beginning. I think Lincoln Lawyer was the first movie I saw when I realized Matthew McConaughey could be a good actor. And then Mud, for me, was like the best thing that came out of the McConaissance. Interstellar was the end of the McConaissance, the greatness. So that was his last great one, and I don't think we're gonna be seeing much
Lincoln
more of
Lawyer
that
2
anymore.
Will probably be bringing it right back up, though.
Yeah, it's gonna be Ryan Phillippe, I think, in the lead role. But anyway, here's a clip from Mud. This is Matthew McConaughey talking to the two boys, Ellis and Neckbone.
Now, I like you two boys. You remind me of me. Seeing as how you two is from Arkansas and we know some of the same people and we grew up in some of the same places, I reckon we can make a deal for something.
A deal for what?
Food. Food for a boat.
He's a bum, Ellis. Come on. Why don't you go get your own food?
Well, I would if I could. See, I told somebody I'd meet him here, so. Well, I'm stuck for now and what I got's running low.
He's a bum, Ellis. Come on.
I ain't no bum. I got money, boy. You can call me a hobo because a hobo will work for his living. You can call me homeless because, well, that's true for now. But you call me a bum again, I'm going to teach you something about respect your daddy never did.
All right. So hopefully that did some convincing.
Powerful stuff.
It's a great scene. He's like, don't call me a bum. You can call me a hobo. You call me homeless.
Don't I know. They just heard it. They just heard it, so you quote.
Oh, they did just hear it. Why would I even? Wow. They just heard it, and they heard me butcher it. They heard me not do it right.
They're like, what an idiot.
For those of you listening, we just, like, we paused for a half a second, and then we kept talking. And then I cut it in later, you know?
Also, so, if you're curious about what happened earlier, when I showed David my ID, I actually mooned him with my butt.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to own up to that.
I'll own it. Like, it's podcast. You gotta play podcast.
Oh, I was just gonna make not so subtle like references, like the full moon is out tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that was an earned joke, you know, because it took them a while to get there. Like, if they stuck with the whole podcast, they got to hear that great mooning joke, and Kara will be very disappointed. But that's okay.
Well, she doesn't listen to the pod, just like Lindsay, so it won't matter.
No bigs. No biggies.
All right. It's midnight in Dallas, so let's get you. Let's tuck you in. Let's put you down.
Dude, can we play the song Friday as the send-off?
No, we're going to outro on our regular music. The last time you made a request for an outro, it was Anne Hathaway's Oscar speech.
That went really well. I got a lot of good feedback.
We got actually a lot of feedback on that. People were pretty happy about it. People really liked it. They were inspired.
It came true.
It happened.
It came true. Because it was her dream. It just
shows that any upper class woman can achieve anything.
Dude, to go from making Princess Diaries to winning an Oscar is pretty
interesting. No. Dude, rewind it, man. Other Side of Heaven.
Oh, my God.
She made a Mormon movie. Oh, yeah.
Why did she make that movie? What was she getting paid?
Dude, paychecks.
She doesn't need paychecks, though.
Back then, she did. She wasn't anything. Yeah.
I bet her parents are rich.
She filmed it before Princess Diaries, but Princess Diaries came out first, right? And so in the marketing of Other Side of Heaven, they were able to ride the Princess Diary stuff pretty high.
And that's before she did all her nudie movies.
Which is great because she was in Other Side of Heaven for 4 minutes. So,
well, did she know she had a baby?
No, she didn't.
Baby.
When did she have time to have a baby?
I don't know. It just said that Anne Hathaway's son, Jonathan Rosebanks Shulman.
Is this like the Beyonce thing where she wasn't actually pregnant?
Her baby's name is Jonathan Rosebanks Shulman.
Who's Shulman? Is that Neve Shulman from Catfish?
Is that who she had a baby with? Adam Shulman, who's he's from Song 1 and the Dukes of Hazzard film.
What?
I kid you not.
Is this her like partner or is this just a baby daddy?
I think it's a father. Husband. Sorry.
I can't believe I'm asking these questions. I don't care.
Spouse.
I did see her in a movie last night, The Intern with Robert De Niro, which was another sad reminder that one of the greatest actors of all time is still making movies and making terrible decisions in what movies he appears in. Not that The Intern is necessarily like abjectly terrible. Like, it's not like Al Pacino and Jill or whatever that was, Jack and Jill.
Or 88
that,
Minutes.
That is like unforgivable. But it was still a little bit like, man, you're Vito Corleone, man, from Godfather 2. What are you doing next to Anne Hathaway at some tech startup in Manhattan, being a little chauffeur intern? Like, what are you doing? I miss Bob De Niro.
No, I mean, Bob De Niro's dead.
That's true.
If you want a great legacy, die when you're 40 and win an Oscar posthumously. Like, you're bulletproof at that point.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger is going to go. Everybody's going to think Heath Ledger had a better career than Jake Gyllenhaal, like, when they look down the road, even though Jake Gyllenhaal has done nothing but make incredible movies since...
Including Prince of Persia.
Dude, underrated.
Underrated? Yeah.
But, that said, at some point, Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be Al Pacino or Robert De Niro's age.
It's true.
And he's going to make some movies, and people are going to be like, you know that that other guy from Brokeback was way better.
If Rick Moranis and Sean Connery can successfully retire and reject all movie offers, like, why can't he? Like, Rick Moranis, mic dropped it, dude. He's got Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. He's got Ghostbusters. And that dude just quit in this, when he was 40 years old. And he's like, I'm done.
How did he do that?
I don't know. It's amazing. And he hasn't appeared in anything.
Dude, I just looked at his IMDb page. Like, he's done literally nothing since 2007, and that was just for a documentary. And by the way, Strange Brew is one of the all-time great movies.
One of the great Canadian comedies.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, then, hoser.
Dude, he has such... Man, he only has 38 credits.
Yes.
But...
That's a man who has self-respect.
And if you cut away, like, the stuff that's fake, like making video shorts and, like, the Brother Bear's theme song, whatever, if you just look at the movies he made... It's a strong, strong portfolio, man.
Of course it is. Ghostbusters is a top 50 film of all time.
Yep. Spaceballs.
Honey,
I Shrunk the Kids.
This is a guy who played Vader.
Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. The Flintstones. The good Flintstones movie.
Yeah, the good one.
Yeah.
I know. Rick Moranis.
And Brother Bear, where he gets to... replay his character from Strange Brew as a bear.
History will look kindly upon his filmography.
And I think they should respect the heck out of the fact that he got out.
Yeah. The guy was like, you know what? Peace. Peace. I think he actually, he was out doing some sort of promotional tour within the last year for, I think it was an album he recorded, some sort of music thing. But like, it wasn't like was. What?
Don't Google him.
Okay.
I don't like 2015 Rick Moranis.
What?
He's just not good looking. Oh, wait,
that Google image search? I'm not going to do it. I need him to look like the dad from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids for forever.
He doesn't. He's fat.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I don't want a hard enough time watching him. Bob Saget in Fuller House, right? Like, I don't think I can handle another one.
He looks kind of Bob Saget-y.
Does he?
Oh, he looks a little Bob Saget-y. He does.
Bob Saget's got, I mean, at least
dude,
he's got
stand-up comedy. Dude, I want to watch Strange Brew
now. How many episodes of Fuller House did you watch,
Strange
by the way?
Strange Brew somewhere? Two. Couldn't do it. It's terrible. Yeah. It's one of the worst shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, but... Yeah. So was the original. What about Strange Brew?
Can I make
what
a confession to you?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say that Strange Brew is where I was introduced to Max von Sydow. I just feel like that's kind of embarrassing for how great of a career he had.
You mean Lor San Tekka. Yeah.
Oh, stop. That's a character that doesn't exist.
No.
Like... They should. Why was that not a character that we knew from the original trilogy?
So I geek out. He's in the comics that they've been releasing. One they released
that's
just last
fine.
Week. There's
that's
a Poe Dameron
fine.
Comic, and I'm learning a lot more about him. He's a player.
Why would they not? Why would they not just do like somebody we knew from the peripheral of the rebellion?
Dude,
because
this
Wouldn't
universe
way
is
more
way bigger. It's way bigger than that, though. We can't just keep reusing the same characters. Like, there's a lot of people.
No, but wouldn't people have been way more... Like, wasn't that what that whole movie was? Was just one giant... Hey, look, it's Star Wars.
No, just like, Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher. We didn't even see Luke till the end.
Oh, please, spoiler alert. Get out of here. The entire film is episode 4.
Oh, okay, so you've already seen Finn and Rey and Kylo, so you... Okay, got it.
Well, I have, yeah. BB-8. They were called Luke and Leia, and they were called Darth Vader.
Okay. You can have one droid by your side with you as your companion for the rest of your life. R2-D2 or BB-8. Who are you taking?
Give me ball droid.
Oh, wow. I'm going R2.
Oh, dude. Okay. Can R2 really fly? Is that canonical?
That is canonical, technically, yes. Because you're talking about the... Yeah.
In episode 2, he flies?
Yeah, he does. But, yeah. But I'm sounding like I'm upset, but you know what? I picked R2. I'm okay with that. I'll take the flying.
I'll take Ball Droid 8. He's pretty cool.
Okay. We should do something like Real Steel with Hugh Jackman where we have them fight in like an octagon or something. Like we'll add a bunch of customizations.
I want to see Real Steel 2. Like when is that going to get made? Come on, America. Make it happen.
Oh, man. Well, I know I started wrapping up probably like 15 or 20 minutes ago. I'm going to attempt to do that again.
We're not
I did
doing
it for you.
Super great at it.
No, but I did it for you because it's late where you're at. But you, hey, I could keep going. I can always
I push
keep going.
Through. I love Fridays. It's Friday, yeah, dude. Friday, gotta get down on Fridays.
I love this. I love you saying Friday over and over again, which means that I'm not allowed to actually post this on Saturday. It forces me to hurry and edit it and release it. That's smart, dude. That's good. Edited. I like the pressure. Anyway,
edited.
Please, we love you. That we provide this to you for free. We love the dozens of you that listen. Please just rate the podcast, write a review. It's actually super helpful to us. It shows our sponsors about our listenership.
And if you're a potential sponsor, we're joking about the dozens of you. There are so many of you guys. It's just hard to count.
I'm not going to drop numbers of subscribers and listens to each episode because I don't want to gloat or make it seem like... I actually have no idea what would even be a
podcast.
High number. Like, I don't even know what's impressive in podcast stats. But like obviously, unless you have Marin numbers, there's no monetization.
Marron.
And just to be clear, we don't make money on this. Our sponsors provide us goods and services. No
G's
cash is exchanged. That's we have taken a very very well, that's our principle. We do.
We've
not
taken
accept.
A vow of poverty as part of this
that's
podcast.
Right. This is for the people, by the people, for the people.
Dude, what if I started a podcast called Vow of Silence? And it's just all about taking vows of silence. And then, like, on the third episode, I take a vow of silence. And then all the episodes after that are just silence. Yeah.
Varying different lengths, like 12 minutes, an hour.
Yeah, but, like,
minutes.
I have, like, the intro music and then just vow of silence. It's a pretty solid idea for a podcast. I'm doing it.
Then you should break the vow of silence just to give a plug to the sponsor and then go back.
No way. There's no breaking it at that point, man. You commit. Anyway.
Well, okay. Speaking of vows of silence, man, it's been a pleasure.
I'm about to start mine. Until next time.
I'm proud of you. Wait. Let's maybe sign off with our little call sign before you.
Vow of silence broken.
That. That didn't last long. All right. Well, as we say,
hold on to your butts.
Vow of silence begins now.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.